Open your Bibles, if you would. No one else has Saul. 1 Kings chapter 21. The Bible says that God dwells in the high, lofty places of heaven and among the what? Anybody know? Humble, contrite heart. Humble, contrite heart. The Bible says that God gives grace to the who? Humble, but he resists the proud. And tonight, I want to look at humbleness putting God to the test. You'll begin reading with me in verse number 17 of 1 Kings chapter 21. Then I want to go back and pick up some things. It says, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, of Naboth shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy prosperity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all things, as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes, and he put sackcloth upon his flesh, and he fasted, and he laid in sackcloth, and he went softly. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Let me go back and pick up a little bit and bring your minds up to Ahab. First of all, most of you are familiar with Jezebel and Ahab. Jezebel and Ahab reminds me of that one saying Brother Junior was telling me. He said, I really like birds, and he watches birds, and he raises birds. But someone one time said that roosters may crow, but the hen brings home the goods. And that sort of reminds me of Jezebel. She kind of run the house. And Ahab got himself in trouble. But even though she was calling the shots and she was doing the things, God held him accountable. Now, if you want to know what sums Ahab up, look, if you would, back in chapter 16 of 1 Kings, real quickly, in verse number 33. It said, and Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than what? All the kings of Israel that were before him. In other words, of all the kings of Israel, Ahab was the worst. Because what he did was, he was a Jew. He married a woman that was a Sidon. Her father was a priest of Baal. And And she was a prophetess of Baal. And of course, she brought and introduced Baal into Israel and the nation of Israel. That was in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 33. Now, when you look in chapter 18 of 1 Kings, you'll find there where Elijah is sent. He's already, we preached the other day, where he pronounced a drought. For 3.5 years, it would not rain. And remember, he went and lived with a widow. And so here, he pronounces the rain, and then he goes up and he meets the prophets of Baal, 950 of them. You know the story on Mount Carmel, how that he put them to a challenge, that they would call upon their God, and if their God would send fire down from heaven and eat up their sacrifice, then they would worship him. But if his God, the real God of heaven, would do it, then they need to worship the real God. Then in chapter 19, after you know the story, how that when they kept cutting themselves and calling and hollering all day long, couldn't get nothing done, all of a sudden when it was Elijah's turn, God sent fire down after they poured water all over everything. And the Bible says the fire licked the water up and consumed the whole sacrifice. Now, after that, you remember Elijah ran and outran the chariot of Ahab to Jezreel. And there was where you had Jezebel threatening to kill Elijah. That was one of Elijah's down moments in his life. We all go through sometimes those moments that we just kind of take ourselves out of the race. He was underneath the tree, Jupiter tree, and he wanted to just die and quit. And of course, you remember how God strengthened him and took him up and showed him several things, earthquakes and fire and wind, but he showed him that God was in the still small voice. He also showed Elijah that he was going to work through Jehu and several different ones, and Elisha and different ones to come after him. And they were going to take care of some things because Elijah got thinking that he was the only one left. But what you have to remember and why Elijah thought that was because Ahab, he hated the prophets. What he really hated was he hated the prophet's message. And he was killing the prophets. Obadiah had taken 7,000 and hid in a cave. That's why God told Elijah that there was 7,000 that had not bowed a knee to Ahab and to Baal. And so Elijah thought he was the only one in the fight anymore, and he was tired of fighting the fight. And God reminded him that there was 7,000 still in that cave with Obadiah feeding them. And so Ahab, he didn't hate the prophets, he hated the message. Most people hate the message. Now, Ahab would really love some of the popular TV evangelists today. They would make him feel good. They would tickle his ear. They wouldn't say anything condemning. Sometimes I have people say, well, preacher, I don't think in the church you ought to preach anything that hurts people's feelings. Oh, my. How deceived you are. There's things that hurts my feelings. There's things that cuts me. There's things that stomps all over my toes. But you got to understand, it's a message of God. Now, so here, then you go in chapter 19, and you find that Elijah went and was restored. And then you find that Ahab was in a battle with the Syrians. Benadad was their king. And so they went up and defeated the Syrians, and God gave them the victory in the mountains and hills. The Syrians had made the statement, well, the God of Israel is the God of mountains, but he's not the God of valleys. That's where that song comes, Doris, that you sing. That's the scripture where it came from. And so when they went to war with them in the plains, God gave them victory again. Now, even though Ahab didn't deserve it, God gave him the victory. And so then you find in chapter number 21, where we come to, that something happens. Ahab is in his winter palace in Jezreel. The Bible speaks that there's a man by the name of Naboth that owns a vineyard right beside of his palace. Ahab wanted to plant a garden of herbs in the place where Naboth's vineyard was. So he came to Naboth, and he offered to trade him another vineyard for his vineyard, or he offered to give him a fair amount of money for his vineyard. Well, that sounded good, but in Leviticus chapter 25, as well as in Numbers, they were prohibited from selling the inheritance that God had given to their fathers. Now, if they got in a tight spot, they could give it, but then it had to come back to them in the year of Jubilee. And if you go through and read all that, you'll understand all that. But anyway, Naboth said he wouldn't do it because of the fact that he says in verse number 3, and Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. You see, Ahab being a Jew, he understood what Naboth was talking about. He understood the law that the Jews were held to. So whenever Naboth said, "I'm not going to break and give away my inheritance," well, Ahab knew that he meant business. So he went in and he started pouting. And he sat in his palace pouting. And so Jezebel come and she said, "What are you pouting about? What's going on?" And he told her, but he didn't tell her the whole story. He just said, "I want that vineyard and he won't sell it to me." She said, "Aren't you the king?" And so what she did was she said, "Do this." She said, "Call a fast and set him in the high seat." Now, somebody said, "Well, what were they doing? Honoring Naboth?" No, when they called a feast and set you in a high seat, they honored you. When they called a fast and set you in a high seat, then they were going to bring charges on you, most likely. And so Naboth here was set in a high seat. And so she wrote letters to the elders. Now listen to this, because you need to get this. Even though she was an adulterer, she knew the law of God. She knew the word of God. So what she wanted to do was use the word of God against, in her favor, against Naboth. Now, can I tell you something? All this movement, this sodomite movement and all this other, every time you turn around, you know what they use to justify? Some verse somewhere out of context. But what they do is, they see the word of how to condemn you with it, but they don't see how the word affects them. And they don't want to see that. Jezebel was the same way. So she said, "What can we do?" Well, the Bible had taught, the law said, that under the mouth of two witnesses, if anybody, two witnesses come forward and said someone blasphemed God and the king, they were to be stoned to death. So they set Naboth up there, and she wrote a letter to the elders saying, "I want you to pick two of sons of Belial and have them come up against Naboth and tell the people in front of the people that he has blasphemed God and blasphemed king." And they did that, and they took him out and stoned him to death. When they sent word that Naboth was stoned to death, then Jezebel went in there and told Ahab, "So go get your vineyard. Naboth is dead, no longer alive." So the portion of scripture in verse 17 where we picked up where Elijah come on the scene, and Ahab was in the vineyard of Naboth. He was probably sitting there figuring out what he was going to plant, what herbs he was going to plant here, what herbs he's going to plant there, and herbs he's planting over here. And he probably had it all figured out. Now, this was a perfect match for Ahab because he had no blood on his hands. All he did was go in and pout. His wife took charge, and she had a lie brought against Naboth. She had false accusations and false witnesses, and then she had him stoned to death, and then she possessed his land. By the way, the law said that if a criminal was stoned to death, his law would go to the king, or his land would go to the king. So that's what happened. So Naboth was there in the vineyard, and all of a sudden here come Elijah. Now get this a minute. Now remember this. Elijah had not been seen for 5 or 6 years now. Elijah probably thought that his ministry was full, was finished, because the last time you saw him, he come along and he met Elijah. And he was training Elijah to take his ministry. And so here we find that Elijah come on the scene, and the first thing happened, God told him, said, I want you to go tell Ahab this. The moment Ahab saw him coming, he said, what has my enemy? And he called him his enemy. Now listen to me very carefully. Ahab didn't realize, but Elijah was the best friend he ever had, because he told him the truth. The enemy was his wife. He didn't understand that sometimes the enemy is in our very own house. And in that situation, the enemy was Jezebel. She got him to go through and do this. And so he'd done it, and he thought he was clear. But then God sent Elijah. Now notice here, and look back in your Bibles a moment, and notice that Elijah saw a couple things. Number one, he saw the grace of God to keep using him. Now listen to me a minute. I want each of you to listen to me, regardless of how old or how young. Don't ever feel that God's through using you. He'll use you as long as you're here. As long as you have a willing heart, he'll use you. There's always, sometimes you get feeling like there's nothing for me to do. There's always something for you to do for the Lord. Amen. You always have work to do. And so Elijah here, I'm sure he felt relieved, because the last time you saw Elijah, he was at his weakest point. But now he's being used again. He was a man of God, bringing about a message of God. Now I want you to notice this too. Something else that encouraged Elijah was this. God knew everything that Ahab had done. He was in full control of everything that happened. There's no secrets with God. So therefore, whenever we are preaching the word of God, God knows all things. Not only that, but notice here, now the reason why Elijah was sent was the story I just told you about the vineyard. And they had perverted the law and killed the guy, innocent blood, and all those things. And so, therefore, God sent him with a message. The message was plain. Because you've done this, you're going to die. You're going to die. Your family's going to die. Your wife's going to die. And the same place that the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, they're going to lick your blood. And sure enough, a little later on, when Ahab was killed, the dogs came and licked his blood out of his chariot. Same place that Naboth was killed. Amen. Then Jezebel was thrown off a wall, and the dogs came and ate her. And all the people in Israel was either eaten by dogs, or they were eaten by the fowls of the air whenever they were defeated in battle. Just as God had said. Now, I want you to notice this, that when God sends a message, he makes the message plain, simple, to the point. You ever had God send you a message? He usually don't beat around the bush, does he? Somebody said, well, I just don't know. You know, it's sort of like your father. Your father ought to be one, whenever he tells you something, you ought to be able to understand what he means. When he tells you not to do something, you ought to know that that means if you do it, you're going to get spanked or you're going to get punished. You ought to be able to listen to his voice and heed his voice. Not that you shouldn't heed your mother, but what I'm trying to tell you is a father's role is to be that, what God is. And therefore, when God speaks, he's plain. Amen. To the point. Amen. Somebody said, I want you to soften up. It's not my job to soften anything up that God has said.
Amen. Amen.
When God speaks about people spending eternity in hell, I can't soften that up. That doesn't get any softer. Somebody said, well, I don't like to hear. I've had people leave and say, I don't like to come to church where they preach on hell. I thank God that somebody's still preaching on it. It's not going to go away, folks. And you think people's going to feel any better about it when they're dying and in eternity in hell and they're in torment? You think they're going to feel any better about not ever hearing a word mentioned? I want somebody to tell me the truth. Just preach it simple. Amen? Not only that, but knows this. He knew it, and he said, now listen, it's going to bring death because of what you did. And so when he brought it, Ahab, of course, like I said, he thought that Elijah was his enemy. But Elijah was the best friend he had. And can I tell you this? When we preach and teach the truth, we are the best friend anybody has that comes through here. It's when you hide things that you're the enemy. And you don't help people by doing that. Then Elijah's response, he went, he didn't pull in punches. He said, no, you're going to die, but your family's going to die. And God's going to go with all. It was very personal. And can I tell you this? When God says you've messed up and you've done enough, it gets to be personal. Whenever he came to Hezekiah, he told Hezekiah personally, you better set your house in order, you're going to die. When he came to David, he said, David, thou art the man. When he came to Peter, he looked upon Peter, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Because he knew. Because when he looked upon him, the cock crowed. And when it crowed, he knew the message of Jesus. My point is this, that when God speaks, it's personal. And it was personal to Ahab. Now, also, it not only affected Ahab, but it affected all his family around. And it always does. Now, let me say this. God had been long-suffering with Ahab. The Bible said that he was more grievous than all the other kings of Israel. God had reason to just snuff him out. But he sent a message to Elijah, and he told him that the time was coming and judgment was fixing to hit. And you know what Ahab did? Look back in your Bibles a moment. And the Bible says in verse 27 and chapter 21, and it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and laid in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah Tishbite saying, seest thou how Ahab did what? He humbled himself. Do you understand how important it is and how God honors someone humbling themselves? You remember when Peter, we talked about him a minute ago, when he had cursed Jesus, when he went out and he humbled himself, you know what he found? The grace of God. You know when Jonah ran from God and ran and was going to flee from the presence of God, And in the whale's belly, he humbled himself and cried out to God. You know what he found? The grace of God. Amen. Did you know when John Mark left a Paul and Barnabas and went back when they needed him most, and then John Mark later on got his life right, you know what he found? The grace of God. Isn't it marvelous how the grace of God will come when we humble ourselves? Now listen to me. Everybody listen, just a minute. Sometimes we have to deal with issues here. As a matter of fact, after service tonight, we've got to bring an issue up before the church. We've got to deal with it. What I want you to understand is this. You say, I don't know what to pray. This is what you pray for. You pray for that person to humble themselves. The only hope they have is humbling themselves before God. Somebody said, well, you don't know what they did. I know what Ahab did. And you know what happened the moment he humbled himself? He found grace of God. And God said, I'm not going to do this in Ahab's life. I'm going to do it in his children's life. And Ahab later on returned to sin, and he was killed, and some guy pulled a bow back, a peradventure, the Bible says, and it went right through his chest. And it killed him because he couldn't run away from God. But my point is this. My point is the moment that Ahab humbled himself, then he found grace of God. no one that will humble themselves will be denied the grace of God if they will humble themselves before God and cry out to Him. The Bible says He dwells among the humble, contrite heart. Many of you have different ones in your life, and you say, I don't know what to pray for them about. The thing you pray for is that God will humble their heart. Humble their heart. Humble it toward Him. And when he humbled himself and he turned himself to God, God said, Elijah, I want you to go tell him. I'm not going to do the things that I said I was going to do right now. Just like he told Hezekiah, he told Isaiah, he said, you go tell Hezekiah. He don't have to put his house in order right now. I'm going to give him 15 years now. 15 years he's going to live before he has to die. You know why? Because Hezekiah humbled himself. And tonight what I want you to understand is this. I wanted you to understand, we talked about repentance the other day. Repentance is turning from your direction and in action turning to another. You say, well, how does people know if I repent? Because of the action of your life. And then we talked about the different perception that you have. But what I want you to understand is this. To do that, you have to have the humbleness. And so you pray for the humbleness. And I just run across this, and I want to share this tonight. I don't know why it stuck so hard, but I got thinking, with Ahab being the most wicked king, and you say, well, preacher, this one done this, and this one done that. Just think everything that Ahab did. And yet when he was willing to humble himself, he was able to find grace with God. Amen. And there's a lot of people who need to humble themselves and find that grace. Amen. Let's stand tonight if you would. 177.